It's like, pop, I know.
This is recording. Hello?
Is there video for this?
No, it's not. It's just audio only.
Ah, okay.
Sorry. Were you prepared to be for your close-up?
Of course. I got the sexy lotion on and all of that.
Fuck. Okay, well, next time. You didn't tell me about the lotion, then I would have been prepared. Shit.
How are you?
You know, I'm out here. I'm chilling. I'm good. How are you?
I'm maintaining. Can't complain. I'm tired of this damn snow shit. I'm about to move my ass to fucking L.A. or fucking to the desert or something. I'm tired of shoveling.
Listen, I'm from California, so I feel you. I'm like, ooh, I just got here last year, February 2020. I moved to New York from Cali, and it's definitely a shock. It's definitely a shock to my body, to my senses, to my nervous system. So we're going to try to thug it out, though.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. It's funny because, like, I was trying to set something up to go out there probably, I want to say, a few months back for promotion for the new project. And COVID started, so we just was like, fuck it, we'll wait, and we'll push it back and do it another time, sometime this upcoming year.
Yeah, I mean, it'll happen. Just, excuse me, and good timing.
Yeah, definitely.
But right now, like, a lot of Cali is very much locked down. So it's like, what is there? I mean, unless you're going there to shoot content, then it's like, you're really not going to be able to rub elbows with people like that.
Yeah, yeah. A few of my people been out there, and they was telling me that they was like, yeah, we went out there. It was cool, but it was kind of just, you had to know what you was going to do, and you kind of had to just go do it, and it was a lot of just chilling. So I'm like, I can do that at home. Like,
yeah, exactly. Because, it's pretty much shut down. Plus, Cali is a pretty chill place anyway. So it's like, are you going to the beach? Are you going out to, like, a day party? Then, But I love it, obviously. Well, welcome to the Beatbox Podcast. I'm your host, Hyphy T, or Tiana. I'm from the West Coast, the Best Coast. I'm from Oakland, California, but I'm here in Brooklyn, New York. And I love Old New Town. York. Love New York. Yes, of course. Oakland, Old California. Oakland, smoking. And I like your voice, by the way.
Thank you so much. I like yours, too.
Oh, thanks. All right. So now that I've given my grand introduction, tell us who we're listening to. Who's on the line?
Beatbox Podcast. What's going on, people? Y'all already know. It's the one and only Fat Boy Sharif right now in the building, representing live from New Jersey. What's good, people? Hyphy, what's up?
I'm dropping bombs for you. I can't afford a soundboard, but I'm here. I'm gonna do it with my mouth.
I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna buy you a soundboard.
We out here. Hey, I recently just got a mic, so I'm like, shit, I'm quality now. Like before, I was recording straight onto my iPad through my iPad's mic. But you gotta do what you gotta do with the resources you have.
No, hell yeah, and I definitely want to say salute to you and the show. Like, I definitely been seeing y'all doing y'all thing for a minute, and it's definitely always dope and informative, and definitely I love what y'all doing. So
Thank you. Keep
it up, and next time I talk to you, you're gonna be in the damn on channel 5 somewhere.
Yeah,
in a soundboard, man, and a big screen and all of that.
Man, I hope so. I mean, I plan to incorporate a lot of aspects of the culture, and not even really just hip hop, but also like just Black culture in general. So really hope to like incorporate comedy, like do some stand up, some music, dance, visual art. But I got big plans, man.
Nah, that's beautiful. And it's crazy because right now that's one thing that came out of COVID. You see a lot of people definitely becoming their own boss. You see a lot of people definitely filming their own videos, editing their own music, mixing their own music, recording themselves, building their own platforms, and they all successful. So
that's fucking beautiful. Definitely the year of self-discovery for sure, because we don't have a choice.
Hell yeah.
It's just you and your thoughts. So I want to talk about your origin a little bit more, because you were saying that you're from Jersey. So tell me about your hometown. Tell me about your upbringing and how that influenced you to be the person that you are today.
Well, my story, started back late 80s, early 90s. Was born in Newark, New Jersey, Beth Israel Hospital. And probably about, I would say, the first 10 to 12 years of my life, I was back and forth between Newark, New Jersey, and Irvington, New Jersey, with different families, different personal situations that was being ironed out and taken care of. And I would say probably around 13, 14, I moved to Rahway, New Jersey, where I'm still at today, through high school and college and all of that. And
wait, you said about 13 and 14, you what?
Moved to Rahway, New Jersey.
I thought you said I went raw with New Jersey. I'm
wow,
like,
wow.
Okay, but go ahead.
The funny thing is that could have literally meant like 6 or 7 different things.
Yeah. So, you know, went raw. We just went raw. Okay. I was like, all right.
But yeah. And I always say, like, and you would know being from Cali, like, and certain type of just vibes or energies from certain cities that kind of like build creative structure and creative character. And I feel like
yes,
that's definitely like what I got from being in Jersey, from all of the different actors we got, different athletes, different artists, and just it's crazy because we're close to the city. So a lot of we close to the city, but we totally different from the city.
Okay. In like, what ways?
For example, just something like our nightlife. Like we got a lot of different diners and lounges and stuff like that that other cities don't have. And even just on a creative aspect, a lot of times I'd like to take the train and just ride from here to New York. And it's a lot of different sceneries and vibes in Jersey you pick up just being here for so long that definitely like grow character and structure for sure.
Yeah, I haven't been to Jersey yet since being on this side, but I will. I'll make my way.
Yeah, you got to pull up. And definitely. I'm because you said you were in Brooklyn, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I got to holler at you. I'm literally in Brooklyn like probably 3 times a week, like doing something.
Yeah.
Doing something with music. So I'm going to definitely holler at you next time I'm out there for sure.
Yeah, tap in for sure. I've been, there's a couple times where I've been meaning to go. Like there's been a couple shows out there. Even during the pandemic, just like at like clothing shops where they're doing like little performances out front. And I've been meaning to make my way, but I just, something always comes up. I'm like, fuck. Like I'm
I got, you got a reason now. You got to pull up. We lit out here.
I'm trying to see. I'm trying to go raw with New Jersey. Really? But tell me about your musical background as far as like what were you hearing in your household growing up? Like what type of music were you tapped into in your youth?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because like my musical journey is kind of like it started off with doing poetry. So yeah, when I was about probably elementary school, I was huge into poetry, like used to win all types of like poetry contests and all types of stuff. Mm. And yeah, hell yeah, I get the poetry and like the lyrics. But you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, my computer did some weird funny shit. And at that particular time in my house, because I grew up in not a busy house, but like a house with older people, so because I'm an only child. For the majority, I was the only child till probably around 13, 14. So I would have my both of my older uncles there, my aunt. And from them, it would be a lot of different, like, 70s music, 80s music. But when I would go see my mother and father, that's where the hip-hop influence came in. So they would be into stuff like Run DMC and Tupac and B.I.G. and that type of stuff. And it's crazy because me personally, a lot of like my early musical influences that I still like carry today came from like heavy metal music and like rock music. Yeah, like that was the dope part. Like I knew about hip hop, I was always connected to it, but a lot of like my early connection was grunge rock from the 90s, heavy metal.
You gotta make a song. I'm sorry, when inspiration strikes, I just gotta say it. You gotta make a song and you gotta call it heavy hip hop. And it's just gotta be like a mashup of all those things.
It's funny you saying that because I literally like I got two songs that I'm working on right now that's like literally like rock type songs. And that's definitely like on my list of like projects I want to tackle before it's all said and done. Like, I definitely want to do like a few rock projects. Like, yeah. For sure.
Why not?
Yeah, hell yeah, for sure.
Yes, yes. So you said, okay, so there was already a lot of hip hop going on, but you were around older people. So I'm assuming you were tapped into the oldies as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I think a lot of black people don't mention the oldies because it's like, duh, like that's like, like that's a given, you know. But I find that like it's rare. I mean, I've had a couple episodes where the artists have mentioned like, oh yeah, I was around some soul and some funk and blah blah blah. But like for the most part, black people do not mention that because it's like, duh, like.
Oh nah, yeah, and it's crazy too because like. I always say everybody, we all get different things from different influences.
Right.
So like, to me, like I said, how I was big on like a lot of grunge and metal for the, for just the songwriting, it was kind of like the same thing for me with like a lot of the soul, like 70s and 80s music, like from Curtis Mayfield, Sly and the Family Stone. Like I fell in love with just like the overall song structure, how you might have a song that's like, 10 minutes long, but it's only like 6 minutes of actual words. The rest of the song is just instrumentation, and
they might throw a sample.
Yeah, they might throw a sample in, and I always looked at that from even as a kid. Like, yo, if I'm gonna do music, it gotta at least be as powerful as this. It gotta give you a full experience. It can't just be, oh, that was a dope song. It's like, nah, it can't. Like,
have you ever heard of Soul-Lection?
Say it again.
Have you ever heard of Soul-Lection?
Tap me in.
I'm about to send you their SoundCloud, but they release mixes. They're from California. They're from Southern California, and they release mixes, and they mix like hip hop along with a bunch of other styles of music, and it's very instrument based. They take a lot of samples, and you know it has words, but you'll see. I'm gonna send it to you. I feel like with this little description that you're giving me, like you'll really fuck with it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna definitely tap in for sure.
Yes. Hell yeah. Yes. But how do you push the culture forward? Like, what's your specialty? What do you do in the music world?
Me personally, I always love the experience of music more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, me and my people's Roper Williams, dope producer from Jersey, we just dropped the project Gandhi Loves Children about 4 or 5 months ago, which has been getting love, and everybody been definitely showing the love, and a lot of the things we're hearing is just about just the songwriting aspect of it.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of press with just that, like, yo, explain your songwriting process or the meaning within this or the meaning within that. So like, that's one thing I love when it comes to me as an artist, is just like my detail or description within writing and wording.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So you mostly, you would consider yourself a rapper?
Lyricist.
Lyricist. I like
that.
Yeah. Lyricist.
Yeah.
Bringing heavy hip-hop.
I would say lyricist and musician, to tell you the truth. Because I'm kind of like a lot of hands-on with the production as well.
Right.
I might tell the producer like, yo, switch this beat here. I'm going to do something with my voice right here to make it sound dope. Maybe a guitar might sound over here, just the overall experience.
So you really use your voice as an instrument.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Wow. So at what point did you fall in love with hip hop, do you think? Like, do you remember the moment? This is the moment where I fell in love with hip hop. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I would say probably around fourth grade, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. When was it? Set the scene.
So like I said, I was heavy into my poetry. I was in my poetry bag. Mm-hmm. So that's already one
nigga walking one around thing. With a what is that hat? What is that?
Oh, the fedora shits.
The little black ones that from France. Why the fuck can I think of it?
Oh, the Rafael Delegato scholar.
Yeah, but I can't think of the name. Okay, whatever.
I think they're not the fedora. I forgot the name of that damn shit. It's like the painter hat.
Yeah, exactly. But I forget, like, I know the name of them, but for some reason, it's not coming to my mind right now.
Yeah, but yeah, so like, I was always big on just like wording and getting into the meaning of words. And my cousin, I would say, like, my father's uncle. He was a
beret.
DJ.
The shit's called a beret, but go
beret.
Ahead.
Beret. You're right, you're right, you're right. Beret, beret, beret.
Nigga in fourth grade with a beret. Go ahead.
Hell yeah. Had to. I think I still got that shit. I think I still got that shit in my house somewhere. I gotta find that shit.
What were you saying?
But yeah, my cousin Rashawn, I would say, like, he's definitely a big, he was a big influence for that because, like I was saying, my father and mother and all of that was big into hip hop, and I was definitely a fan from then. But when I would spend time with him, because he was a DJ,
okay.
So he would have, he would do the mixes and all, he would have all of the newest tapes that came out, and I would go to his house on the weekends and just stay in the room for 3 days and just listen to everything he had. And I'm like, yo, this is dope. This is kind of like what I do already, because it's like putting words together, but it's doing it in a more rhythmic way that people could connect with. So I'm like, I can do this already. Like, I just got to hone my craft and just literally sit and just push it as far as I can push it.
Shout out to Rashawn.
Hell yeah. Rashawn Hill, if you're listening, holla. I love you.
Come on, family. We are family. Skitty. So okay. I mean, with you having the foundation of hip-hop already in your home and you falling in love with hip-hop in the fourth grade, big shout out to your cousin Rashawn. Is there a specific type of music that you remember, or an artist or a song that was like, this is it?
It's funny because I wouldn't say it was a particular artist. It was just kind of like a certain mood. Like, I would listen to certain things. Like, if I'm listening to something like Souls of Mischief or Wu-Tang Gangstar, like, in certain moods that it would put me in, that I'm like, yo, this mood that I'm in from this particular song, I love this mood. I want to, for the rest of my life, I want to be able to put people in the same mood and get them the same feeling that I'm getting right now from this experience I'm hearing.
That's really an important aspect of art in general, I think, is to capture. I've said this probably 50,000 times on this podcast, but that's what people love art and music so much, is because it captures emotions, moments in time, and it allows you to kind of either relive it or process it, because sometimes you don't process it until it's put on a track and you're like, that's exactly how I fucking feel right now.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
How do you think that people can best support the underground? Because, you know, we have the commercialization of hip hop, and that's its own thing. But
yeah,
how can people support your art? Like, what's the best way?
I would say the first thing, and it's probably gonna sound like weird, but I would say you have to understand it before everything. So. And what I mean by that is, like, a lot of times, like, I would say, like, one big thing, like, I shouted out my cousin Rashawn earlier. My cousin Andrew was just as important because, again, I'm from Jersey. I'm from the East Coast. So I would be up here, but a lot of times in the summers, I would go down south to South Carolina.
Okay.
So when I would visit him, he would show me a whole bunch of other type of hip-hop that I never heard. And I remember, like, verbatim, like, the first time I'm listening to, like, Outkast and Goody Mob and, like, a lot of that stuff in the South, I'm like, yo, literally, like, the vibe I'm getting, hearing it, riding, like, at 1 a.m. down here on, like, a dirt road or, like, a city with only 80 people that live there and this 90-degree weather, I get it. Like, I literally would have to be here to fully understand what's going on within it. And I think, like, a lot of people take that for granted, like, because you and even, like, with just, like, a lot of times with music media, you'll see it a lot of times, because, and I'll tell, like, sometimes most of the time, like, if I make with a project, I'll send it out early to, like, the bloggers and reviewers, and I'll be like, yo, listen, I'm giving this to you a month and a half early. If you're going to review it, really review it. Just don't put it's dope. Really, like, examine what I'm saying. Like, if you got questions, ask me this or that. Like, I just think if people, because obviously, like, it, money is always a factor, like, because we want people to buy our merch and support our shows, spread the word,
mm-hmm.
post our videos. But, like, to me, I think if you really, if people really understood more of what they loved, like, that's when you become, like, a lifelong fan to me. Like, when you be like, yo, I need to hear this from my mind, body, and spirit. Like, it take me somewhere else that, like, this other thing not doing over there. Like, so I think that's definitely like one of the main factors that gets overlooked a lot of times. Like,
Hello. Oh, I was like, did he get a phone call? Because people be getting phone calls in the middle of the episodes. But okay, sorry, I was like, that threw me off.
Oh no. I turned my phone off.
Oh, amazing. That's a beautiful energy, take. So go ahead, right?
Oh no, I would say my energy is here. My phone is off for the time being.
I appreciate that. But I was gonna say that is a perspective that I'm sure artists understand, but it's not something that has been vocalized on this platform yet as far as how listeners can support the art aside from just providing money for the artists to continue to create the art is understanding the art itself. And I think that the commercialization of hip hop has kind of dissipated that type of behavior. It's like, let's look at the art. Let's really observe it. Let's digest it. Let's break it down. I think it's a numbers game. It's very heavily a numbers game right now. So I really appreciate that you said that.
Thank you so much.
I want you to tell me about an album that changed your life in one way or another and why.
Okay. I would say, you know what's a huge one for me? The first Lupe Fiasco album. Yeah, Food and Liquor, like, and it's crazy because, like, even to this day, like, I still go back to it and listen to it and, like, damn, like, the beats was amazing, the songwriting, the conceptually it was dope, like, and it was just dope songs. It was just dope song making overall. And that's definitely, like, a project I remember for a fact when it came out, because it came out when I was in probably, like, early high school, and it was a big, like, it was certain people that was like, and writers that was definitely like, yo, this is like the next coming of like a writing style. This is like some new, like how people probably felt when like a Rakim came out or like a Tupac.
I mean, Lupe was ahead of his time, that's for sure.
Yeah, hell yeah. That Food and Liquor album was brilliant for sure.
I like that. Okay. So this question usually throws people off, but this is the last question that I like to ask for you to rap one of your favorite bars that you've written.
Oh, let me think. Let me think.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be a whole verse?
Or could it just be
one or two bars?
Exactly. No, it doesn't have to be a verse. So no, you're making a song, but no, we don't have to do that.
Okay, hold on. Let me see. Cause I want to give you something crazy. I want to give you something fire.
Okay.
Let me see. Hold on a second. Matter of fact, I'll give you something new that I literally just recorded like probably 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay.
And it's literally 3 to 4 bars, but it always hit to me, and it's dope. And it's just literally like, I ain't been the same since I seen God rage. Substance abuse made the face of my mom change.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's
wow. Because I was about to say, wow, I didn't want to interrupt you. Like, whoo.
Oh, no. It's a 2 to 4 bar, but to me, when I wrote it, I was saying that's like, it's special because of how it made me feel. And even when I put it on the song and submit it, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely going to be something that's always going to just stick in my head.
And sometimes it's like, sometimes you just got to say a little to say a lot as well. Like, just the substance of abuse and making your mama's face change. Like, that resonates, you don't even know, heavily with me. And man, that's real. I remember I was in a fiction writing class at some point in college because I changed my major like 20,000 times when I was in college. At one point, I was an English major, and I was in this fiction writing class. And I remember him wanting us to write as like a creative writing exercise, something that's just one line that says a lot, but it's just one line. And I said something along the lines of, my mom tried to protect me from the world because of what it had done to her.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real shit.
It's just like you think about it and you're like, damn, that's deep, but it's not a lot of I'm not saying a lot, but it's real.
Yeah,
it's real.
It speaks volumes.
That's like, right. Yeah, that's sure. Fact. But tell us how we can support you. Where could we go to find you?
Well, I'll start off with the social media on my Twitter and Instagram. People out there,
yes,
IG search me Fatboy Sharif, holla at me, check out some music, check out the
that's Fatboy
_ SHARIF. So follow me, holla at me, check out the Bandcamp, it's in my link. The newest project, Gandhi Love Children, is available right now. Me and my brother Roper Williams on the beat, so definitely go support that and check that out. And I got a bunch of stuff cooking up for 2021.
And we'll be tuned in.
Some exclusives.
Hell yeah. And I'll be here and I'll be ready. Like, I have my website I launched recently, and I'm always looking to do interviews and write blogs in my blog section, featured artist section. Like, I'm ready.
For sure.
I'm actually looking for a featured artist for next month. So, hey, maybe you can tap in with me and be my featured artist for March.
Oh yeah, I got you for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'll send you a link to the page so you can see kind of the format of it. And I'm about to send you the selection, the selection shit. All right, amazing.
Yeah, send me both of those. We'll definitely get that popping. I'm gonna pull up on you soon. I'm in Brooklyn in the next 2 weeks.
All right.
So we definitely going to link for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, thank you for showing your sharing your story. Thank you for your creative contributions to this world and to the culture. I really do appreciate it. I look forward to collaborating with you and supporting your project, supporting your output, creative output.
Vice versa.
The flame.
Shout out Beatbox, tune in, Hyphy T in the building. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. And I want to remind my listeners that I'm not a hip hop expert, just a hip hop lover.
Woo.
This it.
Uh-huh.